Well, that worked. Just checking my tuning. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Heathervale Baptist Church. We give you a warm welcome if you're a visitor here. Then we hope you'll have an amazing time with us this morning. If you're on joining us on Zoom, then we love having you on there, and we give you a wave. So wave to everyone on Zoom. Come on, wave. There we go. Right. So we come in this morning to worship and praise our God. Martin will be coming to speak to us later, continuing on in our series. And Mark will be coming and giving us an interesting talk as always. So I always wonder what's under the cloth. Yeah, we always wonder what's going to happen. So we look forward to that this morning. So let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you that you brought us into this place this morning. That, Lord, we're here to worship and to praise you. So come now by your Holy Spirit. Fill us with joy. Fill us with exuberance. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing together. We're going to do the song that we did last week. So. We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. Our God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. He hung upon that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in his place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your his place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. Arise for the glory of the Lord, rest upon us now. Come and sing his praise. Arise, you're the everlasting light, flooding through my night. I will sing your praise. And the Lord is our mighty Redeemer, he gives us love. Instead of anger, the gates of our heart are open to you now. My Redeemer, I will praise you. My soul will arise, arise, arise. The sorrow soon will end. The Lord has heard our prayers. Come and sing his praise. The Lord is our mighty Redeemer. He gives us love instead of anger. The gates of our heart are open to you now. My Redeemer, I will praise you. My soul. Arise, 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 my soul. Arise, my soul, and sing. Arise, 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 my soul. Arise, my soul, and sing. Arise, 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 my soul. Arise, my soul, and sing. Arise, 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 my soul. Arise, my soul, and sing. My Redeemer, praise you, my soul will arise. My Redeemer, I will praise you, my soul will arise, arise. Amen. Praise you, Lord. We come before you this morning with joy in our hearts to praise and worship you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Over to you, Mark.
Morning. How are we doing? All good? Excellent. Great job, Steve and the band. Really enjoyed that. Thank you very much. It's interesting, actually, because one of the songs, the first song we sang, was about God being here, God being with us, and that's what we're speaking about. It emerged today in our children's church. We're talking about the presence of God, not the presence, not the gifts, because we spoke about that last week, didn't we? Talked about how much he gives us. He gives us more than we could ever need or desire. But I'm talking about the fact that God is with us. He's everywhere. Wherever you go, God goes with you. But that's a kind of a little bit difficult to understand, isn't it? God is everywhere. We can't see him, but he is. If you think back to the Old Testament, the Israelites, the Jews in the Old Testament, to meet with God, they would have to go to the temple, because that's where God resided, didn't he? He resided in the Holy of Holies. In the temple, they'd have to go to see a priest. They might have to make sacrifices, but they'd meet God secondhand through the priests. It was like God was nowhere, wasn't it? Because they couldn't meet with him when they wanted to. No one could have access except through the priests. And it can be sometimes a little bit like that for us, can't it? We can't see God, we can't touch him. So how do we know that he is everywhere? Well, as normal, I've got a little bit of a demonstration to help us. And I will need Emily to come and help me. Excellent. Thank you, Emily. Right. So, what I have here is a jug of water. I have a plastic, not a glass. And I have a bit of paper. Now, Emily, if you can take that glass, and we're just going to scrunch up this bit of paper. And what I want you to do is stuff that bit of paper into the... No, before we do that, what's in the glass? There's nothing in the glass, is there? Is the glass empty? Just put your hand in there, see if you can find anything in the glass. Plastic. It's what? It's got holes. I hope not. Yeah, it's just got ridges in it. But I don't think there's anything in there, is there? No. Can you confirm that is empty? Yeah, it's empty. Now, what I want you to do is take that bit of paper and shove it into the glass, into the plastic, right down. Make sure it's tight in there, right down to the bottom. That's it. And then, breathing on the microphone. Then what I want you to do, you see, the glass was empty, but now it's not empty. It's got a bit of paper in it. And what I want you to do is take that glass and turn it upside down and place it, and push it right down into the water. Can you do that? So keep it nice and level, turn it right upside down. Right upside down, and then push it right in. And I promise you, the paper won't get wet. Now take it out again. Give it a little bit of a shake. We don't want too much water everywhere, do we? Now, can you take that bit of paper out of the plastic? Is it dry? It's dry, isn't it? Because, you see, the glass was empty. But it wasn't really empty, was it? It was full of air. And the air, when we put that glass into the water, it protected the paper from getting wet. And that's like God. God is with us always. He's always with us, protecting us, comforting us, walking with us, even though we can't see him. We sing it in that Miracle Maker song, don't we? Even when we can't see it, he's working. So God is always with us, working and protecting us, just like the air protected the bit of paper. Now, can you open that bit of paper up? Because I don't know, there might be something written on it. Okay, open it up nice and flat and hold it up and see what it says. What does it say? What does it say? Can you read it and shout it out really loud?
God is everywhere.
God is everywhere. He is always with us. That's right. Thank you, Emily. You can go and sit down now. So even when we can't see us, God is with us all the time. No longer do we have to go to the temple to meet God secondhand through a priest. We now have direct access to God through Jesus and what he did when he came to earth 2,000 years ago. Through Jesus' death and resurrection 3 days later, he paid the penalty for the sin which was the barrier between us and God. He's knocked down that wall so that we can have direct access to God through Jesus. That's the reason he came to earth 2,000 years ago, to make a way for us to have access to God. God adopts us through Jesus into his family, and knowing Jesus means that we can have the joy, peace, and love of a relationship with our Heavenly Father. So unlike the Jews, when God was nowhere, God is actually now here. So we can have direct access to God. He's always with us, supporting us and protecting us. So if you've not accepted Jesus into your life yet, if you're in a position where God is still nowhere, but you want God to be now here, why not make that choice today? Why not speak to someone after the service? Speak to Martin or myself or anyone else who you know is Christian and have a chat with us about what it means to come and live your life for Jesus, because it will be the best decision that you've ever made. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Well, it's time now for our young people to go off to their groups. So if they can make their exits, follow the leaders. And if we can also take up the offering this time as well. Nigel, just take the nudge that you get given, you know. So we're going to pray for our young people and for the offering. And then Martin's going to come and lead us in a time of prayer, because it's a mission prayer focus. So he's going to come and lead us in a time of prayer for that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for our young people. We thank you for the enthusiasm they bring, the encouragement they bring to each one of us. Thank you for Mark's talks and the way that that helps us to understand more about you. Lord, we pray now that as they go off to their groups, that, Lord, you would be with the leaders there, give them wisdom to be able to teach. And, Lord, we pray for the young people that they would hear your word. And, Lord, for the offering and for the money that's been given, Lord, would you just extend your kingdom, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, so as Steve said, once a month we have a prayer mission focus, and this month we're going to be looking at the work of Mission Aviation Fellowship. Some of you may have heard of the Mission Aviation Fellowship, some of you may not. So just to introduce this, a short minute and a half video on the work of MAF. Guide our prayers. MAF is a Christian mission organization which seeks to holistic mission in terms of medical support and aid to remote areas, but also to bring the gospel via church to these areas too. Can we just stick up the PowerPoint? So prayer needs. Many of our aircraft are becoming old and need replacing in the coming years. Please pray for favour as we seek funds for these and other immense capital projects. Amid a global shortage of pilots and engineers, pray that God would raise up Christian men and women to fill our many vacancies or enrol on our future pilot program or engineering training scheme. A nationwide backlog in the granting of probate applications has had a significant effect on our legacy income. Ask God to break the delay in releasing these generous gifts promised to us by faithful supporters in their wills. Pray for a huge wave of new family members to pour in, supporters who will catch the MAF vision and become committed to giving, praying, and serving for many years to come. So let me lead us in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the work of Mission Aviation Fellowship in bringing support of every kind to remote, unreachable areas around the globe. Lord, we pray for your blessing on resources, that new equipment, planes, would be able to be purchased. Lord, we pray for a release of funding from wills, Lord. We pray against this blockage in the release of funding. We pray, Father, that you would bless this work, that funds would be released, but also, Lord, that more men and women would come forward to pilot these planes, to take the support and the spiritual support to where it's needed. Father, we just ask that you would bless this work in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you want to find out more about the work of Mission Aviation Fellowship, along with all of the organisations that we support in different ways, just out on the table outside there's the magazine for MAF. You can take that and have a look, and that gives you far more information. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. Let's continue our worship as we come and just come around the throne of God and give him glory and honour. Let's stand and sing together.
Our Father everlasting, the all creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious life, forever seated high. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you, I believe you rose again, I believe Jesus Christ. life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so I'll stand in awe of you. And I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so simplest of all love songs I want to bring to you. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so I'll stand in awe of you. And I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so I'll stand in awe of you.
Let's just worship our God this morning. I'll stand in awe.
And I'll stand in awe of you. Yes, my Jesus, my Lord, my Lord. Yes, I'll stand. Jesus, I am so in love with Jesus. I am so in love with Jesus. I am so in love with you.
Let's bring our praises before God this morning. We have a song to sing. Let's just bring it out before God. We have a word of knowledge or a prophecy, a tongue to speak out, a scripture to read. Let's just praise our God together.
Father God, these are the gates that the Lord's made, so righteous may enter through them. Thank you, Lord, that you have created our salvation, for the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is God's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. In this day, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Yes, this day you've made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I stand in pregnant expectancy. Father, we look around your creation just bursting forth around. Father, our souls, my soul is expectant of you. So, Father, words cannot express my love for you. I look to see and to know the expectant hope of a new creation when you take us out from this world into eternal heaven, eternal praise beyond our hearts and my heart. I stand in awe of you afresh today. Amen.
Said we should enter your gate with thanksgiving, Lord. Lord, forgive us for where we have entered that we have not given thanks to you. Lord, forgive us for where we have led on our own understanding. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. We praise your holy name, Lord. Lord, thank you for everything that you're doing for us and the church. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. You said is our helper. Lord, we thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Through into our hearts and into our lives. Amen. As the sun breaks through a dark cloud and brings joy to our hearts, Amen. Would you break through into our hearts and bring your gifts of joy, your gifts of love, your gifts of hope, of adoration. We lift our hearts to you in thanksgiving, and we say you are the King of our hearts. You are the Lord of our lives. You are our everything. Let us bow before you in adoration. Let us bring to you the gifts of our hearts, our self-sacrifice, our things that we have done wrong. Everything, Lord, that is not that is hidden by the dark cloud, would you bring to light? Would you shine the light of your love deep, deep, deep within us? And bring about newness of life as all the new things come to life in the springtime. Would you rebirth us and bring us to life once again, pointing to you, Lord Jesus, as the King, as the Savior, as our eternal Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Today's reading is taken from Acts again. So Acts 4. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows that they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against their Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they had prayed, the place they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Let's pray for Martin as he comes to speak. Father God, would you help Martin to speak boldly? Fill him with your Spirit. Lord, enable us to hear and enable us to be people who speak boldly your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for your prayer, Steve. Appreciate that. And thanks for leading us in worship. Fabulous. So asking the Holy Spirit for boldness to witness. So here in Acts 4, Luke is emphasizing the bold and confident witness of Peter and John and the early church. And he wants us to get the message that we too, today, need boldness in order to communicate the good news of Jesus, particularly in our cultural times. And we learn in Acts 4:31, when the church prayed to be filled with the Spirit, this is what happened. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So if you ask the Holy Spirit for boldness, courage, and opportunities to talk about Jesus, do you know what? He's going to answer that prayer. I hope you find that encouraging, challenging. The Holy Spirit continued to help every member of the church to speak boldly about Jesus. And this, of course, was in the face of threats of imprisonment and punishment and persecution. We don't have this kind of level of threat, do we? And yet we often lack the boldness and courage and confidence of the early church, do we not? Why, I wondered as I was preparing this week. Why is it that we've lost confidence in the name of Jesus to bring healing and salvation? Why are we so backward in coming forward about the one whom we love? Why is that? Well, typical of the view of our culture is this. You see this sort of, I don't know if you can read that or not, but I'll read it out. A typical cultural mantra, for want of a better phrase, is this. There is your truth and there is my truth. As for the universal truth, it does not exist. Right? That's the cultural sea in which we swim. That's the air that we breathe in this nation at the moment. You can have your truth and I can have mine, and there is no such thing as universal truth that's true for everyone in all times. I come across this all of the time. You might be seen as arrogant, rude, bigoted, narrow-minded, and plain old-fashioned if you dare to claim that Jesus is actually the source of truth today in our culture. I was accused of that at a very respectable, comfortable on the surface sort of dinner party that we were spent friends away with a weekend. And I think the opening conversation was about, I was a pastor, and the woman opposite me said something like, do you believe that all, this was the opening conversation, by the way, over dinner. Do you believe that all religions lead to God? Are there multiple paths to faith? And I said, not in the Christian faith, I'm afraid, no. And she said, well, that's very arrogant and exclusivist and old fashioned. And I said, guilty as charged. I then went on to nuance it a bit, because we were with very intelligent people, and I didn't want to just make an extravagant, arrogant claim, so I qualified it, which I won't bore you with now. But we need to be a little bit bolder, I think, and not be so afraid of upsetting people. Even at a meal table in a restaurant where you don't want to spoil the conversation, right? But when there's truth to proclaim, we need to stand on the truth. I don't mind upsetting somebody if I've stood on the truth. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Oh, we've had a slightly awkward conversation at a dinner party. What's the worst that could happen in the book of Acts? You go to prison. For goodness sake, church. Let's get a grip. And I'm saying this to myself. We're ever so sort of afraid of offending, aren't we, and upsetting. And yet, Jesus said, did he not, John 14:6, often used at funerals, by the way, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's an exclusivist claim to the truth, isn't it? At college, we have to do all this stuff about different positions on the way that people come to know Jesus. Yeah, okay, fine. But you still have to come through Jesus, whether it's a dream or a vision, whether you found a little bit of common grace and truth in another religion or not, you've still got to come through Jesus. He's still the route, the way, the truth, and the life. So if you've got Muslim friends, neighbors, pray that they will be given a vision of Jesus. They are open to the gospel, but they need to come through Jesus as the Son of God, not just a prophet. Again, in Acts 4, Peter proclaimed something controversial and offensive in our culture. Acts 4, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Hello? If you want a comfortable faith, you're in the wrong one. Sorry, it's not comfortable. In our culture, where you can have your truth and I can have mine, and there's no universal truth, this is the truth. So you better get used to upsetting people, potentially. Not everybody's offended. Some are, some aren't. Some just say, oh, good for you, and walk away, right? Some get really angry, and some are completely apathetic and indifferent, and some are interested. Different types of soils. The challenge is, are we going to stay silent because the culture puts pressure on us, or are we going to keep speaking out the truth of Jesus? That's the challenge, isn't it? I'm not an arrogant person. I'm not a bigoted person. I'm quite introverted and quiet and shy in company. But when it comes to the truth, I'm going to say it, right? The early church refused to stay silent about Jesus, even though they were imprisoned, whipped, beaten up, and worse, martyred in the end, many of them. They believed that people needed to be saved, right? They believed that people needed to know Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to know God eternally and in this life. So they were urgent in telling people about Jesus. We've lost that sense of urgency in our culture, haven't we? We've become so squeezed into the mold of the culture to stay quiet and keep it an individual thing, because we don't want to offend people, because there is no universal truth, that we've stopped being bold and confident and courageous. It's time for the church to get courageous again, and be bold again, and be willing to step on toes again, and to pray for miracles again, and to believe that this book of Acts is for our time and culture again. We should care that people don't know Jesus. We shouldn't be indifferent and apathetic that there are people in our workplaces, neighbors, family, friends, who don't know Jesus. We are so apathetic about it. We've allowed the cultural mantra, there is no universal truth, to so squeeze us that we're not even sure we know it's true anymore, right? We've lost our confidence in the power of Jesus to save and heal and set people free. Time, church, to get a grip and to stand up and be bold and to ask the Holy Spirit for boldness. There is a truth that people are lost eternally without Christ. Heaven and hell exist, and we've got to tell people. But even if people don't accept the existence of heaven and hell, and quite frankly, let's be honest, many people don't, there is another good argument for presenting the gospel. These days, I don't make any assumptions about who I'm speaking to. So for those that have no concept of heaven and hell, I want to ask people, how's it going without God in our country? How's it going for a nation that's rejected Jesus and the truth? How's it going out there in our nation, our culture, where freedom is the mantra, where follow your heart is the mantra, where there is no universal truth is the mantra? How's it going for our nation that's rejected Christ? Oh dear, I looked on the Mind website this week. Some of you are very familiar with the Mind charity. Recent data, 17,340 serious incidents, including many suicides in 2023. Serious mental health incidents, growing exponentially year on year. And that's post-lockdown. A recent report from the ONS, the Office for National Statistics, indicates a falling level of happiness in the UK. This is not just one of those airy-fairy, how happy are you surveys, well, I'd be happy if I moved to Cornwall, that sort of thing. This is people's genuine well-being. And they report an increasing suicide rates, mental health problems across the board, particularly among males. People today, folks, whether they believe in heaven and hell, are looking for answers. People are looking for hope. They're looking for meaning. They're looking for purpose. And they're not finding it in a secular world which is telling them that there is no truth. They're not finding it in the mantra that says you are free to discover your own truth. Just follow your own heart. What are people finding? They're finding a loss of meaning, a loss of purpose, hopelessness, anxiety, depression. It's not leading, secularism, to this great wave of freedom and joy and happiness as promised. Good news of the gospel is this. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. Do we believe that? Really? Because if you really believe that, you're going to start wanting opportunities to tell people about that. We're not going to be complacent and comfortable and afraid of offending. If that's the truth, right? People need to know that Jesus is the source of fullness and abundance. Because how are they going to know it? An increasing number of people in the UK, in our community, in our neighbours, are not experiencing fullness of life and abundance. I spoke to a respected and experienced psychiatric nurse this week who came to visit me at home. And he was telling me about the exponential increase in mental health problems and the corresponding lack of resources that are there in our culture to support these people. We have an epidemic in our culture of sadness, unhappiness, and mental health breakdown. But you know, there is one who brings abundant life, meaning, purpose, joy, and his name is Jesus. Amen? Sorry, folks, I just feel we need to wake up sometimes to the fact we've got good news. We're so used to being defensive and on the back foot about our faith, we forget this is good news. We're so used to being apologetic for our faith and walking, oh, I don't want to offend, I'm ever so humble. Don't want to step on toes. Oh, we're very polite, aren't we? Now, please don't hear me wrong. You know me. I'm not an arrogant person who goes around stepping on people's toes for fun and offending them. It's not what I'm about. But if an opportunity comes to tell the truth about Jesus, I'm taking it. And heaven help me when I don't. And I get it wrong. I sometimes stay silent when I should speak. Anybody else? I sometimes bottle it. I sometimes need more boldness from the Holy Spirit. Anybody? Listen to Peter. Love this verse. 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer, hello, to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. It's a great verse to guide evangelism, isn't it? Don't go in there waving your fist and shouting and trying to win an argument, right? Because you won't. You won't win anybody over. Least of all, you won't win them over to Jesus. Sometimes people will come at you very angry for being a Christian because they've been upset and hurt by the church, right? Sometimes you just need to listen. People who've been wooed in and hurt by the church just need a listening ear to build trust again. You may not be able to talk to them about Jesus for years, Well, that's okay. Just build the relationship. Just build trust. Be friends. Be nice. But those who have questions, Peter says, you kind of need to give an answer. Peter doesn't say, oh, for you Western culture people who are ever so afraid of causing offense, you might want to think about not saying anything and be silent. Doesn't say that. Always be prepared to give an answer. So, we've got to get reading. We've got to do some work in having some answers, haven't we? Because people come up with the most difficult questions, don't they? The lady sat opposite me at the meal, you know, she had a big gun lined up at me and she fired it. We've got to have something to say. I'm not saying we need to be able to argue them into the kingdom. I'm just saying we need to be able to point them to Jesus. And then let the Holy Spirit do the rest. And we do it with respect and gentleness and kindness. I'm a nice person, really. Honestly, in case you think I'm going around whopping people over the head with a large King James Bible. And I'd never ever get invited to a dinner party ever again in my life. That's not me, all right? You know my heart. I am gentle, I'm respectful, but I'll tell you, I'm going to stand on the truth. And I don't mind offending people or having some awkward moments. Because Jesus is more important than awkward moments around a meal table, right? Sorry, but people's eternal destiny is at stake here, not my comfort. What about the person, I get this all the time, well, religion just causes conflict and war, doesn't it? And there are times when you have to go, hands up, yes, it has. And we need to repent as Christians of some of the horror that's been done in the name of Jesus over the centuries. There's no getting away from it. Don't jump straight into the attack mode where you go, ah, yes, but the Nazis were, you know, or all these secular totalitarian regimes around the world that are non-religious. Don't go there straight away. Take the hit. Because there are mistakes, massive mistakes, errors of judgment that Christians have made in the name of Jesus. And we have to hold our hands up and say, guilty as charged. But then we say, but you know, there was one who hung on a bloody cross and who suffered the violence and unjust death of a common criminal. He hung there in agony. He absorbed all the evil, the pain, the violence of the world on himself. In other words, we turn around an objection to the gospel. There's a way of getting to the cross and of Jesus with just about every difficult question. If you want some help with this stuff, I can, please do come and talk to me. I can send you books there are some brilliant, brilliant books written out there at a popular level by some brilliant authors who will help you to answer people's questions in a way that points them to Jesus. You know, people who've got questions, you could say to them, you could ask 1,000 questions. And even if I answered all of them perfectly, you still wouldn't believe. But what they're looking for is not so much the answers you give, but the fact that you do it with love and gentleness, respect, and you're willing to build trust and friendship, and that you point them to Jesus. Point them to Jesus and leave the rest to God. Anyway, moving on. I spoke last Sunday about the way that miraculous answers to prayer can also be opportunities to talk about the gospel. Big things and small things, answers to prayer can open people's hearts to talking about Jesus, right? So we ought to be praying for our non-Christian friends and family members for God to do some stuff. Some answers to prayer, right? Ruby's away in Mexico at the moment. I'm not jealous at all. But last Sunday, she shared that having asked the church to pray for her brother, who was involved in a near-fatal road accident, God had done something amazing in Reuben, her brother. She was told that he may or may not come round from the coma, and that if he did, it was likely, very likely by the doctors, that he would have brain damage and nerve damage. And she stood up here last Sunday and said that as a result of prayer, that he was speaking, and the doctors were saying there was no sign of nerve damage or brain damage. And she said to him, do you know the church had been praying? And he said, yeah, thanks. And she said, well, maybe you should come to church with me when I'm back. And he said, yeah, I will. So pray that Reuben comes, right? God did a miracle. And she used it as an opportunity to point him to Jesus and say, come to church. This is a bit like one of the nine of the 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus said thank you very much and legged it. One of them went back to Jesus and said, thanks. Pray that he'd be one of the 10, right? Peter and John used the healing of the man born crippled at the temple gate as an opportunity to preach the gospel. Acts 4, 8 to 10. Here we go. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He gives the gospel, doesn't he? He gets it all in there. You killed him. God raised him from the dead. And now, in the name of Jesus, he's been healed. And we learn that Peter was able to speak the word of God boldly, despite persecution, because he was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. I can identify with fear. For many years as a Christian, I was afraid to speak up. I became a Christian when I was 15 at a boys' brigade camp, and I was in that position as a teenager where there was hardly anybody in my class who was a Christian. You know what I'm talking about. You're on your own, right, in school. Really tough, and it's even harder now for them in school. And I struggled through A-levels, even through uni. I found myself quite isolated. And then I went forward for prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a meeting where they were saying, if you want to be filled with boldness and courage in sharing your faith, why don't you stand and we'll pray for you? And I stood and I received the Holy Spirit. And you know what? From that moment on, I started asking for doors to open for me to share about Jesus. And they did. Sometimes it went okay. Sometimes it was a disaster. But I was having a go, whereas before I wasn't having a go, right? I'd rather live an adventure and have a go and make mistakes than sit comfortably in my slippers, not sharing the gospel, right? I'm not interested. What's the point? Let's be bold. Let's be willing to go on an adventure and start talking about Jesus and start asking the Holy Spirit to give us boldness and open doors. And you know what? He will, because he loves to open doors for us to talk about Jesus. So let's start asking him. The authorities tried to put Peter and John off, but they're dumbfounded by them, aren't they? Listen to this, 13:14. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who'd been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. I think Luke, writing this, got his tongue firmly in his cheek. He's enjoying himself, isn't he? You know, Luke, he's going, Theophilus, write this down, will you? This is good. This is good. And after discussing what on earth to do next, Peter and John, the authorities finally decide, but to stop this thing from spreading, we must warn them to speak no longer in his name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak at all in the name of Jesus. That's my best Anglican hierarchical voice, by the way. Bless you, my child. But even this didn't put Peter and John off. Listen, verse 19. Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judge. As for you, as for us, we cannot help but speak about what we've seen and heard. If only God could say that about you and I, right? They can't help speak. So in the end, they threaten them again. They let them go because all the people are going, wow, what an amazing miracle. So the religious authorities are in the minority. They're on the back foot. God has reversed things. And do you know what they did? They went back to the church and they said, let's have a prayer meeting and pray for more boldness because there's loads of threats. Verses 24 and 26, here it is. When they heard this, they raised their voices together. This is the church praying. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Here, by the way, they're praying Psalm 2. David prophesied in Psalm 2 that there would be kings and rulers who would rise up against the Lord's anointed. The Lord's anointed is Jesus, right? That's why they're quoting this psalm. So in other words, all the plotting and conspiracy and opposition of Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles and the people of Israel was all part of God's sovereign plan to have Jesus crucified, rise again in order to save the very people that had put him to death. God's in control. God's sovereign. Despite the opposition, God uses the opposition to fulfill his very prophesied promises. Satan is in God's pocket. So we can pray in the face of boldness that the church would grow and that Jesus would do as he promised. He would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it because he has the victory. Amen? He won the victory at the cross and the resurrection. The dark powers were humiliated and made a public spectacle of when he died on the cross. That's what it says in Colossians. We're on the victory side. So we can pray with confidence and boldness, asking that God would build his church and asking that he would open doors for us to share the gospel. And he will do that. You will get opposition. You will get hassle. You will get trouble as a Christian. But you're going to get that anyway, right? So you might as well have some fun in sharing the gospel and get it. Live an adventure. Don't live a comfortable life because you're going to get temptation and trouble if you live a comfortable Christian life. Second application for us. Sorry, is that the first one? Yeah, I think I've jumped. Sorry, Jasper, he's shaking his head. There it is. Second, pray asking that God would give us opportunities to speak out boldly. Answers to prayer open up conversations about faith. Ask that God would answer prayers in ways that cause non-Christians to ask more questions and seek Jesus. We don't just want people to have answers to prayer. We want them to want to talk more about Jesus, to ask us, well, tell me more. One of the great ways of witnessing today is to say to a non-Christian friend, neighbor, work colleague, can I pray for that? Can I pray for you? Would you mind if I prayed? The vast majority will say yes. That's fine, you pray. Or say one for me. That's what they say, isn't it? And I say, you know, say one yourself, but I'll say one for you, certainly. When prayers are answered, it opens people up to another conversation. We can say to them, you know, I gave you a book at work a few weeks ago to read. How are you getting on with reading that book? Yeah? How's it going? You asked me for an alpha manual. I'm following up with you. How are you getting on with it? Have a conversation. As a result of their prayers to do more signs and wonders, listen to what God did next. Verse 31. I should say what they prayed for first, shouldn't I? After they prayed, the place where they were. Sorry, can we go back one? Jasper, it's my fault. I'm sorry. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miracles, signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. How often do we pray that for friends, neighbors, family members who are not Christians? How often do we pray that? Not a lot, I'm guessing. We should pray it more, shouldn't we? They prayed it and God did it. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. God answers those kind of prayers, because those kind of prayers open people up to faith in Jesus. God wants to answer those prayers. Question is, do we want to pray them? Do we want to see God answer people's prayers? Do we want opportunities to share the gospel? Do we want people to ask us questions about our faith? Some of you are going, no, Pastor, I don't, because I don't know how I'd answer. That's okay. Do you know what? One of the best answers is, I don't know the answer to that question. Nothing wrong with that. That's a brilliant answer. Just love them. Go. You could say to them, you know what, you caught me out there, hands up, but I've done a bit of reading and I'd like to have a coffee and revisit the question, if you don't mind. People really respect it when we take them seriously and we're honest and we go, do you know what, I can't answer your question, I don't know. And we're never going to satisfy everyone's questions. You're never going to. Suffering and things like that, you know, we're going to have to wait for eternity to find out all the answers there, because we're never going to get them. But we do know there's one who suffered in our place, that we can know God, and we can point people to him. You're not going to argue anybody into the kingdom, but you might just love them in. Yeah? You might just listen them in. You might just answer their questions them in. That's not a verb, but you know what I mean. So will we ask God to stretch out his hand to give us opportunities for the gospel? Will we ask for the Holy Spirit to give us boldness? I'll tell you that one of the most exciting things is when God starts answering those prayers and people start asking you about your faith. Your heartbeat will start racing. You'll start feeling inadequate and weak. But I'll tell you, it's exciting. Go on the adventure. Find out for yourself. Have those conversations. You really feel alive when you're talking about Jesus, particularly when you're facing opposition, because you can feel the Holy Spirit going, this is good. Your spirit's going, this is really hard. I'm making a right car crash of this. But the Holy Spirit's going, you're doing all right. I'm with you. And that's an exciting place to be. My faith took off when I started having opportunities to share about Jesus. I made a mess of so many opportunities, but you know, it was exciting. And God redeems those opportunities. And he helps us, if we're willing, he helps us to get better at it and wiser and more gentle and more respectful and more loving and more kind. Should we pray? Let's stand. I always like to give Jesus respect by standing. I'm old fashioned, I know. It was like days of do you remember when the headmaster used to walk in and the classes would stand? That's a bygone era, isn't it? But we're in the presence of King Jesus, aren't we? The one who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one with all authority and power in heaven and on earth, the one who wants to give us power and boldness and authority to talk about him. Amen. Holy Spirit, we're standing before you today because, like the early church, we recognize that we need boldness and courage, together with kindness and respect and humility and gentleness, to share the gospel. Lord, we're sorry that so often we fail. We stay quiet, Lord, when we should speak up. Lord, we've allowed the culture to squeeze us into its mold. And Lord, we just want to say sorry. Father, we want to repent of staying silent when we should be speaking up. Lord, we've caved in to the times that we live in. We've to use J.B. Phillips' translation, we've let the world squeeze us into its own mold. Lord, have mercy on us, sinners. Father, would you pour out the boldness and courage and strength and wisdom of your Holy Spirit upon us afresh? Fill us, Holy Spirit, with power right now in Jesus' name. to be bold, confident, courageous witnesses for Jesus. And Father, would you stretch out your hand to do miraculous answers to prayer? And Lord, give us the courage to ask people if they want prayer. And Lord, do some miracles in answering their prayers and open up their hearts to ask us more questions. So Holy Spirit, we're open to you filling us now. Come and fill us with boldness. Why don't you just in the quiet, why don't you ask him to come and fill you afresh today? As we're, thanks Steve, as we're singing this last song. If the Lord, I love hearing from the Holy Spirit what he wants to do and say to his people. So if God gives you a word of knowledge or a word of prophecy or a scripture or a picture while we're singing, we may have done that already, of course. Would you just, I'll be down here, just come and share it with me, and I'd love to give an opportunity for us to share revelation, to encourage all of us to respond to God's word. So we'll sing, let's sing God of Justice. Just forget revelation, come and share.
Send us out, Lord. Fill us up, send us out.
And so, Lord, we just ask, would you just fill us up, send us out, to help us to speak boldly, to move us into action. Please, Lord, just fill us afresh, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join us for tea and coffee next door.